The Higgins-Botham Humane Home for Orphan Children stood at the end of a street of tall, mean-looking houses, taller than the rest and certainly meaner-looking. Great spiked railings, painted gleaming black, guarded its area from the street. The flight of steps leading up to the door was always pipe-clayed a cold grey blue. The door was big and black, and lettered like a tombstone.
Higgins-Botham Humane Home for Orphan Children. Matron Miss Penn Ross. No hawkers, bottles, or circulars,
it announced in inch-high white letters. In small black letters, the white bell push at the side reluctantly invited visitors to press. All the windows were shrouded so completely in thick white curtains that nobody from outside might see in, and nobody from inside might see out. To the new orphan who stood on the pipe-clayed steps one rainy April morning, it was the nastiest and most uncomfortable building she had ever seen. Her name was Hannah, and she was 10 years old. But she could not for the life of her have told you why she came to be there. She did not feel an orphan, nor in need of a humane home. How she came to be there was plain enough, but she could not find any reason for it. She had lived all her life in a cottage, about 20 miles away with her aunt, a dry, hard woman, of whom she had not been very fond. But she had been happy in the cottage, helping with the housework and playing with the neighbouring children. Then, Mr. Snooks had begun to come. It was Mr. Snooks who stood beside her now on the doorstep of the Higgins-Botham home. Hannah had disliked him from the first. She disliked his shining pink face, his shining brown shoes, his checked pink and brown suit, and his absurd pimple of a brown beret. She disliked his name, his oily voice, his patronising manner. To her surprise, she found that these things did not annoy her aunt at all. In fact, her aunt had seemed to like Mr. Snooks very much. One day she had told Hannah that she and Mr. Snooks were going away.
"And you must go too," she added, "for the cottage is going to be sold."
"Where?" Hannah had asked, thinking that she was to go with them and disliking the idea of going anywhere in the company of Mr. Snooks.
"Oh, we'll find a nice place for you to go," her aunt had said, "all by yourself."
Hannah had cheered up at the thought of going away all by herself someday, but shortly forgot about the matter. But 2 days later, Mr. Snooks arrived in a car much too small for him. Bundled into her coat and hastily pecked on the cheek by her aunt, Hannah found herself packed in beside him before she could ask any questions. During the long drive through villages and wooded countryside, she disdained to ask them of Mr. Snooks. They came at last to a large town. Halfway down a street of tall, mean-looking houses, Mr. Snooks stopped the car and heaved himself out. Looking up, Hannah had her first view of the Higgins-Botham Humane Home for Orphan Children. Now, as she stood beside Mr. Snooks, waiting for the tombstone door to gape open and swallow her up, she found it hard to keep from crying. If Mr. Snooks had not patted her on the head with monstrous condescension and said,
"There, there,"
she would certainly have burst into tears. But anger drove away self-pity. She would have liked to hit Mr. Snooks in the middle of his fat, checked stomach and run away down the street of tall, mean-looking houses. But she felt sure he would be able to catch her in his little car. She would have liked to tell Mr. Snooks in a dignified speech what she thought of him. But before she could choose her words, the big black door was swung open.